Thank you for tuning in to Aster Investment Management's podcast series. A reminder to our listeners that a lot of the economic data and commentary is available on our smartphone app in the iOS and Android App Store. Just search Aster Research and download it today. This week, our Chief Investment Officer, John Eckstein, and Senior Managing Director, Mac O'Brien, discuss the current economic outlook in the era of COVID-19. Thank you both for joining us today.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Aster's Economic Week in Review. We have a great week of data to discuss. With us today is John Eckstein, Aster's Chief Investment Officer, joining us from vacation. John, thanks for taking time out of your not-so-busy schedule.
Hey, Mac. It's nice to be here. Always time for the podcast.
And Sibylla, thank you for the introduction. John, we always start with a quick kind of preview of what we're going to discuss. I thought there's some pretty interesting data coming out this week. So run us through what's on the agenda for today.
Yeah, so today I thought we'd probably start with the big picture, what we're seeing. I got a couple points to make there, and then go into the labor market, talk about what's going on with consumer confidence, and then wrap up with the cheerful retail sales number, and go over next week.
And jobless claims too, right? I don't know if you just said that, but
Really about the labor market? Yeah, we definitely got to talk about the labor market.
Great. So let's start with the big picture. What do you got?
The big picture, you know, again, I thought we would try to orient people sort of with our thinking at the beginning of this, because there's a lot of data and it's going to be complicated over the next few months. So again, like, I see things basically as we're coming out of the suppression phase of this current economic environment where people had to stay home and seeing the economy recover from that. And what we're watching for is, to the extent, are we entering a recession phase, sort of like a normal recession caused by the second order effects of the suppression. So that's sort of how I'm looking at the world. We're coming out of the suppression phase and we're looking out to see if we're entering a new phase of economic weakness. The second big picture thing, one thing that's really interesting in the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks is that data's come out much, much better than expected. You know, there are indexes and stuff that people track, look at expectation versus reality and sort of count that up. Basically, from the end of March, we went from the economists getting it wrong to the downside, right? Like, things came out much, much worse than they had expected. And that's reversed. The economic surprise index actually is its highest ever right now. Economists' expectation beforehand less the reality, adjusted for the importance of the series, is at a very high level. And that probably something to do with the stock market's buoyancy. The data is actually coming out better than expected in the last few weeks. And the economic surprise index is something that sort of naturally cycles in between things being better than expected and being worse than expected. It's kind of never as expected. That's just not the way it works. That will turn at some point. But we'll see when. So big picture, coming out of the suppression phase, we're looking at, are we getting to a recession? And the data that we actually have had for the last 2 weeks has been much better than expected.
Yeah, let's go over the labor market. So we have jobless claims coming in at about 1.5 million, which for the first time exceeded expectations in a bad way, right? Consensus was what, around 1.25 or so?
Yeah, so my number, yeah, was like 1.3, yeah, exactly, on the Bloomberg. It did. Given the magnitude of these numbers, that's a relatively small miss. And so people are definitely...
How about PUA though, John? Where did PUA come in at?
I was just about to point this out. If you add those numbers together, the state and the federal numbers, they're unchanged from week to week, right? So people are losing jobs at about the same... People are filing for unemployment insurance at about the same pace as they were last week.
Got it. So this about a million in PUA-ish?
Three quarters. Okay. Like I said, the sum is unchanged week to week. I worked that right. So 2.2 this week versus 2.25 last week. So a little better, but not much. The jobs situation for June, we could have the similar report as in May, where we've got a lot of people losing jobs, but we also have even more people gaining jobs, right? And so we can hope that is coming back. There's not a lot of great high-frequency data on people getting hired, like there are on people getting fired. But what we have is showing sort of continuing at the same pace as last month. So I think we're going to be hopeful that we're going to see another positive in the millions payroll number.
Yes, the labor market, I guess, to sum it up, is pretty much the same, right? I mean, there's nothing going in crazy directions up or down in terms of jobless claims. There's not a lot of high frequency stuff for us to look at. One of the big surprising numbers from this week was retail sales, where, John, the consensus I have in front of me is around 8% or so.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, people were thinking an 8% rise, and we got more like an 18% rise.
Right, which is a huge, I mean, that's more than 100% increase, right? So what, or 100% surprise? Let's talk to me about the retail sales. I mean, aside from government stimulus, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is actually consistent with the rest of the data that we've had for May, right? Where we see, you know, things coming back more strongly than we had anticipated in the time, right? We were looking for more doom and gloom in May, and things are coming back a little bit more sharply than people had anticipated. We saw that with the payroll number, and we're seeing it again with this retail sales. I think that's all kind of consistent. And it's also consistent that it's a big improvement on last month, but still far below where it was in February, right?
So, yeah.
You know, we've got a long way to go to get back to normal.
In comparison terms, John, do you have like a comparison, what it was in February versus what it was in this report?
Yeah. So the May retail sales was about $485 billion. And in the 3 months before, the 3 months ending February averaged out, seasonally adjusted, as $527 billion.
Got it. Okay.
So we are, say, 10% below where we'd expect to be.
On a non-COVID
basis. Yeah, if you just sort of extend the trend, retail sales grow a little bit every year because the economy grows and inflation is up. So they just sort of...
If that's the case, that seems like it's pretty acceptable, given everyone's been sheltered in and we're spending money where we can, to be only 10% below where we would be if there was no quarantining, shutdown, COVID. That seems pretty good.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's true.
The question is how much of that was people spending government money that is no longer being put in their bank account?
Yeah, I mean, the government money spends, that counts. And then the question is, like, are we going to going at 10% below expectations forever would be bad, right?
Yeah.
We need to continue getting back towards the baseline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the sublines here, like clothing up 188% from the prior month, which makes sense. Appliances up 50%, furniture up 90%. Gas is still below, up 12%, which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all consistent with what you'd expect, just sort of having living through it, right?
Okay, yeah. And then let's move on to housing starts. Housing starts seem to be pretty much in line with expectations and not too far off from the previous month. Do you have anything interesting to add on housing starts?
I think the housing market is going to be a little bit of a beacon this year is what it looks like. I think the problem is going to be there's not enough houses where people want to be, right? And so you might have people in the suburbs and in the country having a little bit of home inflation, which maybe is okay if you're selling your house and not so great if you're trying to buy one. But there definitely seems to be people relocating, especially if they're thinking, gosh, you know, I've got another school year. I don't want to do another school year in downtown Chicago or whatever. I mean, certainly that's anecdotal, right, from my friends, but I do see people like trying to make plans for not being in a city next year.
Yeah. Anecdotally, I agree. I mean, one of our coworkers just spoke to him yesterday. He is one of the managers in our operations group. And he's like, well, I'm closing in my house in the suburbs tomorrow. Can we push our call to Monday? You know, so it does seem as if people are looking to move the major metropolitan areas, whether it's the schools or the shutdown or the riots or whatever the case is, it does, or work from home, right? On not having to be downtown. It does seem like there's an appetite for getting outside the city limits a little bit.
Yeah, and we'll see if the work from home thing continues, right? Like, I think we've been living off some capital that we've accumulated in working face to face, and can that really continue indefinitely if people aren't face to face? I don't know that that's the case.
Right. Well, we will we'll see how it all progresses.
I do want to say that the consumer confidence numbers are bouncing back a little bit. You know, we sort of aggregate them here at Aster to try and get a better handle on them, and they're definitely, again, sort of same story. Like, economy is doing much better than it was in March or April, not up to baseline. So that's something we're going to continue to watch.
And then what are your thoughts on, we talked about it last week a little bit, John, but, and I know there's not an easy answer to this, but second order effects obviously have not been realized yet, right? They haven't soaked through. Just from your experience and, you know, your studies and your research, what do you think about second order effects and when they'll start hitting the market? I mean, is that a fair question to ask, or is that something that you just have to kind of observe?
Yeah, we're going to be waiting for the data here. It's not a real great way to model it. But I mean, I think one thing that's worth keeping an eye on is the job losses that are marked as permanent. And so like the job losses that are marked as permanent are, you know, say like 5.5 or something like that, as opposed to the 13% overall unemployment rate. So unemployment rate, people who lost their jobs as a permanent, not they see it as a temporary. So how far is that going to creep up, and is that going to continue to creep up month after month, right? You know, as places close or the stimulus package fades. So I mean, we're going to watch it, and there's a lot of things we're going to be looking at. And this is why it's going to be such a tricky couple months to be keeping an eye on the economy.
You know, this week we had some interesting data, but not a ton of it. What do we got on the deck for next week?
We got a little bit more housing market data. We do have the some early purchasing managers indexes. And so that'll be super interesting to see how much of they bounce back. You know, when we saw in China that the manufacturing was able to bounce back much more quickly than the services sector. And so we can get some information on that next week. We've got some durable goods numbers. And then we have, you know, our regular claims and stuff. And then getting ready for the payroll number.
All right, John, thanks a lot for your time. We will be talking next week.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mark. I don't even know what I said. Mac. I think I called you Mark. Thanks, Mac. Talk to you soon.
See you, John.
Bye.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC is a SEC registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.